I was going to ask questions or open it up for questions about Trinidad tonight, but I do not want to be under competition. So I figure I'll just let you ask them if you have any questions about Trinidad. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Reading through the Bible gives you so many benefits of understanding the Word of God and how you can see it in a different light. And I've been seeing, when I read through these kings and chronicles and such, and the lives of these kings, how comparable they are to the Christian life today. And we look back and we say, oh man, I can't believe those guys did that. What mistake were they making? What weren't they seeing in their way? But how often does God say the same to us? And say, look, you're making the same mistake. It's Old Testament, but it's such a great lesson for us. Such a great learning experience. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I want to preach tonight on the walk of Josiah. Let's start reading 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the service. Lord, thank you for this opportunity you've given to us. I pray that you just help us to focus on what you'd have for us tonight. I pray that you just come now and use this scripture that I have, that those listening would be able to glean something from it for their lives, and for the thing that they can glorify you most in this life. In your name I pray these things. Amen. The walk of Josiah. We see Josiah started at a young age. What a great opportunity this is for a young king to come to the throne of Israel and have all of this power at his hand. And we know from reading, we'll read on ahead, that he was a righteous king and he did what was right and followed the Lord. But imagine teenagers or eight-year-olds today having that power in their hands today, and how dangerous it would be. How far we've fallen from this education, from this responsibility. Let's read on. Verse 3, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek the God of David his father. I want to say tonight, number one, Josiah walked righteously before he had a reason to. And by that, I mean that usually teenagers and young people today, they do what's right, they follow their parents, they keep the standards, they keep the faith, they go to church because their parents say so, don't you think? Because they're supposed to, or because it's outlined, or because they have to keep a set of rules or guidelines. But Josiah was 8 years old, and he walked righteously for God before he had to do any of those things. Before any of those things were an issue in his life, he chose that narrow way all on his own. In the 8th year, we see in verse 3, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, that puts him at 16 years of age. I don't know what you were doing. When I was 16, I was not thinking about following the Lord. I was not thinking about doing what was right. I was not thinking about making the right decisions just because it's the right thing to do. I was worried about making the right decisions so nobody else would see me. So nobody else would see my heart. So no one would catch on. Why do you make the right decisions today? Young people, I know this is a great Baptist college. I know there's a lot of you in here. What gives you the fuel? What gives you the strength and the reason to make those decisions today that you make? What's behind those reasonings? 8th year. His reason, obviously, first and foremost, was the Lord. It says it in verse 2. It says, he walked right in the sight of the Lord because he knew that God's eyes were to and fro throughout the earth. And he knew that above all, in the entire kingdom, God was the first and foremost one that mattered in his life. And he was going to do it because God was watching. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of that thing, the television program, Scared Straight. And I'm not a TV watcher, but I was, can you all hear me? Okay, when we had just gotten married, I got a second job, and I was a security officer in a nursing home. And you say, "What, Brother Brad, what does a nursing home need a security officer for?" Just go there and you'll find out. But I was a security officer at night in a nursing home, and obviously had to walk the halls and check things throughout the entire night, and just to make sure things were all right with the fire codes. And I'd walk around and I'd hear these random shows on, but one of them was this show called Scared Straight. And I realized the reasoning behind it. I realized what they were trying to do. They are taking troubled teenagers and bringing them to the jails, to the prison houses, to the county places, to these addiction places, and showing them that if they kept going on their wrong road, if they kept going against their parents and rebellious, this is not a Christian show. But it was just the law enforcement bringing them before these places and saying, if you keep going this direction, you're going to end up behind the bars. And it showed them their ending. Obviously, hopefully, that scared them straight. How many of us need a show to scare us straight tonight? How many of us need something that's going to foretell our future and say, if you keep going down this road, you're going to end up like this? Why don't we just stop and do what's right for the right reason? Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we do what's right, young people, just because it's right?
Amen.
And not have to be scared straight. He kept his way straight and narrow, being the youngest king to ever see the throne, and coming, even though he was prophesied about early on in the scriptures, he knew what was right and he stuck to it. Josiah walked righteously before he had a reason to. Number two, Josiah walked with respect for the one true God. Let's look in verse 3. In the second part of verse 3, it says, and in the 12th year, now that puts him at, he was 8 when he came to the throne, 12th year, it puts him at 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. You know what he did at an early age? He had respect for the right God. He had respect for the right king. And he removed those idols and he took them out. He took out those high places. He removed anything that had a potential in his kingdom, in his life, to take the attention of the people away from God. Those high places in scripture, if you look up at those high places and study them out, they were not always used for wrong. We see them derogatorily mentioned at certain points and mentioned negatively. But usually some people went up and sacrificed to the Lord in those high places. But he saw them and saw the potential of how they could be used for idols against God. And he said, take them out. I don't want them in my kingdom.
Amen.
He removed those distractions early in his kingdom. My wife and I, we've only been on full-time deputation for about 6 full weeks now. But we did some part-time meetings in October, November, and December when we were still at home, and the Lord's been really good. But we've stayed in some beautiful hotel rooms. And how many have stayed in some very nice hotel rooms? How many have stayed in some bad hotels? No, I don't answer that. But we've stayed in some nice places, and obviously pastors putting us up, and places we had to rent. It was wonderful. Obviously, it's much better than a minivan. So we're grateful. But I am not the fashionable type. If I were to dress myself tonight without my wife saying, oh, that looks good, I'd probably come in here looking like a rainbow. And I don't notice much about fashion. She says, how do you look? I say, you look beautiful. She says, you say that every day. But I walked into this hotel room that we had rented one time, and I looking around, and the walls were nice, nice brown tone. The blankets, the furniture, it was all perfectly dwelt together. It was all in one unified assembly, except for this royal blue blanket rolled across the bed. And I walked in and I said, I even catch this. There's something wrong if I catch something. Hotel, you better talk to your manager of the designs here, because he did something wrong. And I saw something that wasn't unified with the rest of the room. You know what God sees when he sees those idols in our life? He sees the right colors, he sees the right purpose, he sees the right service, but he sees something and he says, that is not in unity with your life. Get it out. And Josiah saw the same thing. He said, these things do not dwell in perfect harmony with worshiping God and keeping his commandments and keeping his statutes. I want them out.
Amen.
And he had respect for the right God.
Amen.
He walked righteously before he had a reason. He had respect for the one true God. And number three, Josiah walked with reaction to God's word. He walked with reaction to God's word. Most of us, what we do, we hear God say something, I want that out. And we say, oh man, it's such a struggle. Lord, just brother, just pray for me because I'm really struggling with this thing. Why struggle? Just get it out. Just react. Just react to what God has. God spoke to Josiah and he did it. Let's look in verse 20 and see where this happens. Verse 20. Over the past few verses, they found
the law, and they found out what they were doing wrong, and they brought it to the priest, the high priest, and the priest brought it to Josiah. And the king said, with awe and shame and fear, he said, go do something about this. Let's see what he says in verse 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah, servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. You know what we need to do in modern Christianity today? We need to have some reaction to God's word. Amen. We need to have a reaction to what he says and what he's proclaiming from his pulpit and from his man of God, that when the Lord says do it, we're on top of it.
Amen.
Too often there's churches and Christians that take their time, and before you know it, they shut God out. The proverb says, do it betimes. Seek him early. It's not just a principle of getting up and doing your devotions first thing in the morning or having church on Sunday. It means early, while there's time, before it's too late, before God turns you off, before he turns you around as a reprobate. Early. Seek God early. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, don't neither give place to the devil. Because once Satan sees that little opportunity of time, that open window, when God's speaking to your heart, he's going to rush in and take up that seed whenever he can. In that parable, it's a scary thing that God's word dropped on the ground but was picked up by another influence. That shows that we can have God's word taken and carried away before it takes root in our heart, or before we do something with it. Christian, may I advise you tonight to do something with the word that God has in your heart. If there's something that is not causing unity and harmony in your life, get it out. And if you're not following the Lord perfectly with the whole heart, like it says about Josiah, neither declining to the right hand or to the left hand, move before it's too late.
Amen.
React while there's still time. Number one, Josiah walked righteously before he had a reason. Number two, he walked with respect for the one true God. Number three, he walked with reaction to God's word. And number four, the saddest part about this story is that Josiah's walk became religious. Let's look at chapter 35. If you're like me, when I'm reading through the book of the Kings and the Chronicles, I'm searching for these kings and seeing, okay, that guy did right. Okay, good. Whew. Man, I feel bad for these guys. They're getting pummeled with this evil. This guy did right. Oh, good. All right. And when he reached the end of Josiah's story, he did so much in his life that was following God's word, but he turned religious. And he turned it from a heart motion to a head motion. He did it once for God and now for people. And he became religious in his walk. He thought he was trying to help God out. Let's look in verse 20 of chapter 35. Verse 20 says, chapter 35, verse 20 says, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. So the king of Egypt is coming up, and he's about to put out a battle against this area of Josiah's kingdom. And he's coming up against him. Verse 21 says, but he sent ambassadors to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? King of Egypt is saying, hey, hold your horses, king. I've got this on my own. Josiah, trying to take things into his own hands, being religious with his walk, says in verse 21, let's look down in verse 22. It says what Josiah did. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. The scariest part of that portion of scripture is that he disguised himself. What do Pharisees do? They make clean the outside, but are filthy on the inside. What was my problem? I was living that double life of putting on hypocrisy for those around me. What do we have a problem most Christianity today and churches is that they're one thing at church and another thing at home.
Right.
What is the number one reason we have waywards and Christian young people that are going astray in this world? Because they see their parents being a Christian at home and a Christian at church and a lost person at home. They're disguising themselves to put on a different face.
Yes,
Josiah became religious and he disguised himself from who he was, so he could just help God out. so he could put on an act, so he could put on religion, trying to do God a favor. When God works in our lives, folks, we need to be sensitive, and we need to have that tender heart. I believe Josiah had that. He reigned for 31 years. He was 8 years old when he started. That puts us at the age of 39 years old. He was an older man at this point, and he still remained sensitive until he had the chance to listen to God one more time, and he thought, no, I got this one all on my own. I don't need help. I'm going to help God out this time. So often we're faced with testings and with different things in our life that test us and try us to see what our real heart motive is. And it's all to see where our walk really is, who we're really listening to, if we're really trying to please God. If Josiah was, he would have said, all right, hands off, I'm back to my own land, I'll leave you alone. But he disguised himself and put on an act and did something outside of God's parameters and ruined it. His walk became religious. And that's the scariest thing I see today in Christianity, is that we have so many faithful men, faithful preachers, faithful churchgoers, faithful Christians, faithful families who are becoming religious, who have this disguise, and their walk just becomes another walk. Young people, if I can implore you one thing tonight, please don't be a hypocrite. Please don't put on that act. Start while you're young.
Amen.
I'm not saying, guys, to try to put your hearts on your sleeves, because we all know that doesn't work. I'm just saying, have a tender heart for the Lord and be sensitive to what he has, no matter what. Don't try to impress those around you, because they're not impressed. Most of the time, they're not. Yes, they look on the outward appearance, and obviously your appearance is what matters to them. You should have a good appearance for reason of standard and conviction and for testimony's sake. But God sees that heart.
Yes, sir.
And that
Amen.
Is what matters. His walk became religious. Josiah had the chance to save Israel. He had the chance to go on living constantly in God's law and his promises, and he blew it. I just want to warn you tonight to don't let your walk become religious. Don't do all those things in your life and get rid of those idols and get rid of those distractions and seek God for the right reasons and have him in your heart only to turn aside and become like every other Christian. Seek God truly. Have that heart for him that is not only seen on the inside but also the outside. And if you're worried about the outside, let me tell you, what is it on the inside will eventually come out. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You won't have to put on a dog. You won't have to put on something that is not who you really are.
Amen.
And I implore the young people tonight, well, for one reason, because I am a young person tonight, but also I see the need that we have in our country. And it's still early to catch it. It's still early to change. And we are the future of this country and of this Christian faith that we carry.
Amen.
The torch is going to be passed on to us Josiahs. Don't let it be an act. The walk of Josiah, he was righteous before God before he had a reason. He walked with God with respect for the one true God. He walked with reaction to God's word, but his walk became religious. Please keep that in mind as a warning to you all.